Man, what an incredible Sunday we've been having so far, right? Man, it is awesome. I get like so pumped up to get to be a part of Sundays like today. It's so exciting to get to see and hear the stories of how Jesus has changed people and the type of work that he's been doing through people. And I think Sundays like this are really important in the life of Crosspoint and in the life of the local church in general. And I think it's so important because it kind of proves what we come in here and we talk about week in and week out. Because sometimes just the reality of the situation is we come in here week after week, Sunday after Sunday, and we hear about how Jesus can change people, and we hear about the hope that he offers us, and we hear about how he has a good design even in the middle of difficult circumstances. But sometimes I think it's easy for us to, you know, walk out of here after a Sunday and hear that Jesus changes people, but then look at our lives, look at the lives of people around us and be like, but I don't see a lot of change in that. Or we sit here and we listen and we hear about how Jesus is hope, and then we walk outside and see a lot of hopelessness all over the world. And we hear about how God has a good design even in the middle of difficulty, and we walk out of here and we're like, man, but I know my situation, or I know the situation of people I care about, and how could there be good in that? And sometimes that can create a little bit of doubt inside of us. Can Jesus actually change people? Is he actually that strong hope? Does he actually have a good design? And Sundays like today, where we can kind of like push the professionals out of the way and hear from people who are like, just now, in the recent history, Jesus has changed me. I've gone from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. That's what every one of those people had to say that were getting baptized here this morning. And we got to see how God used a person like Joni to spread his kingdom and his influence, not just here in Modesto, but all over the world in a country that's super closed off to the gospel. And it's so inspiring and so encouraging because Jesus does change people. Jesus does offer hope. He does have a good design, and he does want to work in our lives. And it's so good for us to be able to see that and be a part of it from time to time on Sundays. So I'm kind of like, I'm getting up here. I'm like, sheesh, do I even need to add anything at this point? Like, man, we could just close this thing out right here and right now. But we do have something that I want to share with you this morning. And it's really cool because it absolutely, like, really well connects to what we've already seen and already heard. I don't know if that was the plan all along. The Holy Spirit must have known what he was doing in this whole situation. But what we're talking about here this morning, this passage of scripture that we are going to be looking at, it rounds out and it connects well what we've already seen to the decisions that we have to make right here and right now, which is really cool. Before we get going any further, though, I just want to introduce myself. My name's Kyle. I'm the high school director here. The reason I felt like I should introduce myself is I look a little different than the last time I was up here speaking to you. You may have noticed I was lacking in the beard department last time. And I was concerned maybe some of you thought, like, who's this wannabe lumberjack that they let come up on the stage and share with us this morning? It's just me. It's Kyle. Don't worry about it. I'm just participating in No Shave November, which is basically an excuse for me not to have to shave and be lazy for a whole month. And then my real motivation comes about because on December 1st, I lose the bottom half and I let this glorious mustache out for the whole world to see, which I know you're all super excited about. So you can be looking for that around the beginning of December. But I am excited to be here with you and to be sharing with you. And what we've been doing leading up to this point is we've been walking through this series called Life Upside Down. And basically, it's been walking through the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gathered up all these people, and he starts to explain to them, hey, this is how my kingdom works. And he addresses, like, all these different issues that we run into in our lives. And he kind of phrases it this way. He says, okay, you've heard it said this is how you handle these situations. Your religious leaders have told you this. Conventional wisdom has told you this. Maybe even your own gut instinct has told you this is how you handle your life. But this is how it works in my kingdom. This is the type of life that I've come to offer you. And really, every single time, it turns the whole thing completely on its head. And Jesus has hit on all kinds of different things throughout this whole message. And he said, this is the type of life I want for you. This is the type of life you will experience if you follow me, which is pretty cool. Where we find ourselves today is Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read verses 13 to 20. You can turn there if you want. And if you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in the information rack in front of you. You're welcome to grab it and follow along. But Jesus kind of makes a shift at this point in his sermon. So far, he's been offering a lot of information, a lot of how we deal with different situations in our lives. And now he kind of makes this shift and is kind of coming to a close. We're almost finished with this series. And Jesus starts to turn from, hey, here's what my kingdom looks like, to asking us the question, okay, so do you want to be a part of it? And if the answer to that question is yes, then here's what it's going to take. And pretty much from this point on, all the way to the end of Jesus' sermon, he starts to flesh out what it looks like to actually follow him, to enter into that kingdom, what it takes to be a part of God's kingdom. And he does it by comparing twos, which is interesting. It's a beautiful like literary device that he uses to better help us understand what he's actually talking about. So pretty much from here on out, he kind of takes two different things and two different metaphors and compares them to help us understand. And the first set of two that we see here is Jesus compares two different paths, two different roads. So let's read it together. We're just going to start by just reading verses 13 and 14. And then we're going to come back and read the rest in a little bit. Jesus says this, "Enter by the narrow gate." So Jesus says, based off of everything that you've heard me say, all this information that I've given you about what it looks like to be a part of my kingdom, he says, here's how you do it. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, which is heartbreaking. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So what Jesus is saying here is like, okay, based off of all this stuff that you've seen, all of these things that you've heard that we've been talking about, you now have two choices. There's two options laid out in front of you. One option, one path, one road is super easy to find. It's really wide. There's all kinds of allowances for you to do pretty much whatever you want on this road. It's wide, it's easy, it comes naturally, and it's really simple to find, and most people will choose this. What Jesus is saying here is this is the road that the world would say is okay for you to be living. He says you can sin as much as you want, you can live for yourself, and this road looks nothing like the kingdom that I have been describing up until this point. So he says this is how the world functions. This is maybe where you've been up until this point, and it's really wide and really easy to find and really easy to travel. But Jesus says, but this road will always, every time, even though it's easy, even though it might come naturally, this road will always lead to destruction. This is a road where we do what we want to do. It's a road where we allow sin to control our lives. And Jesus says it will always end in destruction. Physical destruction sometimes, because there is physical consequence to letting sin run our life. But more importantly, he's talking about spiritual destruction. He says, by the time you get to the end of this road, you will be eternally and forever separated from God, which none of us here know what that's like. But he says, if you choose that, if you choose the easy, wide road, the thing you've been doing, the thing that looks easy, you will end up destroyed. This one always leads to destruction. But Jesus offers another way, another path, another road. He says, the way to my kingdom is narrow and difficult, and not a lot of people are going to find it, and there's really only one entrance. He says right at the beginning of that passage, enter by the narrow gate. Unequivocally, there's no debate about it. When Jesus says that, he is talking about himself. For us to be a part of God's kingdom, for us to travel this road that leads to life, as we're going to discover here in a moment, the only way to do that is through relationship with Jesus. He alludes to the fact all through the gospel that there is no way to the Father except through him. He straight up tells his disciples in the simplest terms, there is no other way to the Father except through him. And then just to make sure there's no confusion, in the book of John, he uses the exact same analogy and says, okay, in case you were confused, I am the door. I am the gate. You cannot get to the Father except through me. So Jesus is saying to these people, you enter through the narrow gate. You enter through surrendering your life to me, having a relationship with me. But Jesus doesn't mince words, and I love that he doesn't do that. He doesn't try to pull the wool over our eyes. He tells us exactly what this road is going to look like. He says it's narrow, and it's difficult, and unfortunately, few will choose to travel it. It's funny, you know, we read passages like this, and even now in my life, I read something like this, and I'm kind of like taken off guard, like, oh, Jesus' way is difficult? I mean, I super like when Jesus talks about how his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and I like those kind of verses. That they're really easy for me to swallow, but then I get to a passage like this where it's like, you have to give up everything. It's going to cost you everything. This road is going to be difficult, and I somehow act like it's a surprise. And I think that comes from us just kind of cherry-picking a verse out like this and not looking at it in context. I mean, if we've been paying attention at all during this sermon that Jesus has given, this should not come as a huge surprise, right? All throughout this series, Jesus has been calling us beyond what we are capable of, to do things that don't come naturally, to change the way that we live in drastic ways. That's why the whole series is called Life Upside Down. It's different than what we've been doing, which is difficult. So Jesus says that this road is narrow, and this road is difficult, and the only way to travel it is through relationship with him. But the hope in this statement is this. Jesus says, this road leads to life. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's narrow. Unfortunately, a ton of people aren't going to choose to travel it, but it leads to life. It leads home. It leads to fulfillment. Never had this so clearly laid out to me as I was thinking about this past week. It reminded me of a time early on in Megan and I's marriage. And we had just gotten married. It was our first year of marriage. I was not the type of guy that you would encourage your daughter to marry because I didn't have a job. I was swimming in college debt. And when we went home from our honeymoon, we were sleeping in my parents' basement, all right? So I was not the type of person that you're like, yeah, that's a good guy. You should go for him. But God worked it all out, and he kind of made it all work so that we could have this job where we, for a year, traveled the country, just the two of us, and did high school assemblies. So we were two young lovebirds driving around the country in this sketchy white Chevy Astro van with no windows in it because we had a bunch of sound equipment in it. And that was our first year of marriage. We drove around, and it was amazing. It turned out to be an awesome, awesome experience for us. And we found ourselves at one point in the state of Washington. We had a few days off, and we decided, hey, we want to go check out Olympia National Park. I don't know if any of you have been there. Super cool. I would highly recommend it. And one of the things that we read to not miss at Olympia National Park was to hike the Dungeness Spit, which is basically this peninsula, this sandbar that juts out into the ocean. At the end of it, there's a picturesque little lighthouse, and people are like, you should walk it. It's beautiful. There's all sorts of cool things that you can experience along the way. So Megan and I, we get there, and it's not the greatest day ever. It's somewhat maybe like today. I haven't been outside in a few minutes. Maybe it's brighter. But when I got here, it was kind of dark and gray, and overcast, raining a little bit. When we got there, that's exactly what was happening. But, you know, we're young. We're tough. We're adventurous. A little stupid. So we decided, hey, let's just go for it anyway. So we fashioned some ponchos out of garbage bags we stole from the hotel room from the night before, and we set off on this Dungeness Spit to go check out this lighthouse. And we're walking, and it's fun, it's enjoyable. We're getting kind of wet, it's a little cold, but whatever. We're walking, we're enjoying ourselves, and we're headed toward this lighthouse, and I don't know if any of you have had this type of experience before, where you're walking on the beach, and you're heading towards something in particular, and you're like, walking and walking and walking, and you're like, that thing is not getting any closer to me. Like, what is happening here? Like, I know we've been walking for a while, but that doesn't seem any closer. But you're in that middle ground where you're like, but we shouldn't go back because, I mean, we got to be getting closer. And so we keep walking, and progressively it starts to get darker and darker, and the rain starts picking up more and more. And we start to notice that no one else is walking out toward the lighthouse. Everyone is heading back to their vehicles. Because they were good hikers. They got up early and got a start on their day. We were bad hikers and didn't have kids, so we slept in because we had that option. And so we're out there, we're walking, and eventually we get out to the lighthouse. We finally arrive. And it's getting pretty dark at this point. So we hurry up the lighthouse, we check everything out, it's so cool, and we come back down and start thinking about heading back, trying to get back to our vehicle. And we run into this guy who was out there. And to this day, I'm not sure if he was like the lighthouse keeper or if he had a boat somewhere I didn't see or if he was just a serial killer, because that was not out of the question at that point. He was a little sketchy, you know? But we ask him, we're like, hey, how long will it take us to get back? We notice it's getting dark, it's raining more. And I don't remember exactly what he told me, but what he did say was, that's not what you need to be worried about walking in the dark. You need to be worried about the tide coming in, because the tide's coming in. And I was like, I'm from Wyoming. I don't know how tides work. But turns out, tides come in and out a couple times a day. They're pretty predictable. And sure enough, as we started to head back, the tide started to come in. And he said, before long, you're going to have a really narrow pathway that's super hard to walk along because the tide will be completely up to the shore. And so we get walking back, and sure enough, the tide starts to come in until on either side, because it's a peninsula, until we're left with maybe a 6 to 8 foot pathway that is just littered with driftwood. Because the ocean had tossed all this driftwood and sea debris and all this stuff onto the very tip top of this sand spit. So we're walking, and it is so difficult. Super narrow. We're trying not to get our feet wet or fall into the water. We're trying to climb over all this driftwood and finally get back to safety, get back to our car, get back home. And so we're going, and it's miserable, and Megan hits her breaking point. And I have to give you a quick disclaimer. My wife is an extremely strong person. Some of you might not know that. If anyone has met Megan, you know that she's super compassionate and super kind and loving. Everyone knows that. But you might not know that she's a really, really tough person as well. But everyone has their breaking point, and the accumulation of everything that was happening that day brought her to her breaking point. So we're walking, climbing over driftwood, all this stuff, and Megan just stops. She stands there. And I keep walking, and I turn around, and I look at her, and she just looks at me, and she goes, and she's like, I'm not walking anymore. So I like run back. So I'm like, did you pass out? Like, what happened? She's like, no, I'm just not going any further. She's like, I'm sitting right here and I'm not going any further. And I had some choices in that moment. I had some choices on how to deal with that situation. And me, in all of my 9 months of marital wisdom that I had accumulated up until that point, decided to respond like this. I laughed at her. Rookie move, I know. I have learned since then. But I laughed because I was like, what do you mean you're not going to walk? Like, we don't have an option. Like, to get back to safety, to get back to our car, to get back home, we have to walk this way. There is no other choice. In a very real way, that is what Jesus is saying to us, saying to every person. Like, you can walk this super wide and easy path, but it will lead to destruction and death every time. But if you want to experience life, there are no workarounds, there are no shortcuts, there are no loopholes. This is the path that you need to walk. It's narrow, it's difficult, and unfortunately, many, many people will choose to reject it. Man, living a life for Jesus is hard. I've been so reminded of that as we've been walking through this series. Man, giving up of ourselves for the benefit of other people is really hard. Knocking down pride every time it tries to get back up again is really hard. Forgiving people when they don't deserve to be forgiven is really hard. Trusting Jesus has a good design in our life in the middle of extreme affliction, like Travis talked about last week, is really hard. Walking that narrow path that leads to life is not an easy thing, but what makes it 100% worth it, what we saw in each of these people who chose to publicly profess the life that they've chosen, is that that path does lead to life. Life for eternity with God, but also a fulfilling life here and now as we have relationship with Jesus. Then Jesus goes on to describe, okay, here's these two ways that you can live, and here's the consequences of whatever road you choose. That's what Jesus talks about next. Starting in verse 15, he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? He's giving a rhetorical question here. He's like, grapes and figs are stuff that you would want, but would you get them off of a thorn bush or a thistle? Well, no, obviously. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, and the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Jesus gives us this warning here. And he says, in your life, you're going to run into people who are damaging God's kingdom, who are muddying the waters of what it looks like to follow Jesus. And some of these people know exactly what they're doing. And their full intention is to cause people to wander and be led astray, to cause division. I think also in this boat, you know, that there's people who are just functioning purely out of ignorance. They have no idea the damage that they're causing. And probably varying degrees in between there. But what Jesus makes clear here is that what your life is producing is a very good indicator of what's going on inside of you. If you've chosen this wide path where you get to be in charge of your life, he says, you're like a diseased tree that will only produce bad fruit, because how could you produce anything other than that? He says, if you've chosen the narrow, difficult path that leads to life, you're a good tree, and your life must, will produce good fruit. The good fruit that he's talking about are all the things that we've spent the past couple months walking through. Integrity, trust, humility, prayer. Those are the things that a follower of Jesus' life must produce. He doesn't leave really any room for interpretation in that. That is what needs to come out of a life that is surrendered to Jesus. And that's why I think what we're talking about here connects so perfectly to what we've already seen here this morning. Because we got to see a number of people who are baptized here this morning who publicly are professing, I have chosen the narrow road. I know the cost. I know the reward. I have a full understanding and a pretty good picture of what it means to follow Jesus, and it will become clearer and clearer the more I know him, but that is what I am choosing. And that's worth celebrating. And then we got to hear from Joni, someone who day by day has surrendered her life and her plans and her wants over to Jesus, even in coming back here. And God has been super faithful to produce fruit in her life that looks a lot like it belongs in the kingdom of God. These are case studies for what we come in here week in and week out and talk about. And it's not just for them, it's for each and every one of us. So here's, you know, I tried, when I first had this passage and I was going to be preaching on it, I started like digging in and looking at commentaries and context and all this stuff, trying to find like some clever or unique or kind of like different slant on it to kind of make it fresh to us. And I know some people are like, well, God kind of put his arm around me and led me to the right thing. In my experience, God more like thumps me on the chest more often than puts his arm around me. He's like, okay, dummy, you don't need to add anything to this because this is the gospel. This is simple. This is straightforward. I've explained to you what my kingdom looks like. Now you have a choice. Will you keep doing what you're doing, or will you walk this narrow, difficult path that leads to life with me? And when you do, I will start to produce the fruit in your life that belongs in the kingdom of God. It's simple, but it's profound. So what do we do about it here today? In light of what we've seen, in light of what we've just talked about, what do we do? I think the thing we can do today on November 20th, 2016 at Crosspoint is we can ask ourselves two questions. Two questions. The first is, what path am I on? And the second is, what is my life producing? Because I think that I know that there are people in this room this morning that when you look down and you're honest with yourself, you're walking that wide, easy path that has all kinds of allowances for anything you want to bring along, and you're in complete control, and it seems pretty easy, right now at least, but you have the sneaking suspicion that it's headed to somewhere really, really bad. I think there are people in this room this morning that are in that situation. I just want to let you know, Jesus offers for you to, through him, to walk this narrow, difficult path, but a path that leads to life. When Jesus says not many people are going to find this path, it's not because the invitation isn't open to everybody. It's because a lot of people will reject it. But that offer is available to us here this morning that don't have a relationship with him. Maybe you're asking yourself that second question. You look at your life and you're like, what is my life producing? And if you're really honest about it, you look at your time and your resources and your energy and the things that you put your whole wrap your whole life around. You see the things that kind of come out of you when you're pressed. And you're like, man, those things don't really look like what we've spent the past couple months talking about here at church on Sundays. And you see a disconnect. You have a relationship with Jesus, but your life is producing bad fruit. And you see a disconnect there. And whatever your theological bent is on that, we can all agree that when that's the case, there's a renewed sense of repentance and a renewed sense of surrender that we need to have in our lives. And God is so faithful to continue and to finish the work that he started inside of us. So here's what we want to do. Every single week, we have a team of people who come up to the front after service who are available to pray with people for just whatever people want to have prayer for. Today, those people will be coming up here, and they don't even know about this, but that's all right. But we just want to give you an opportunity as you ask yourself those questions to make a change. If you're on that wide road, today's your day. This morning is your moment to, through Jesus, begin to walk the path that leads to life, that leads to his kingdom. If you notice that your life is producing bad fruit and need someone to talk that through with, these people are available to do that. Jesus loves you. God loved you so much that he would send his one and only son to live a perfect life, to take our punishment so that we don't have to, and forgive our sin. We've seen that fleshed out in reality here, and we talk about the truth of that every single week, but it is available to each and every one of us. This is the kingdom that God has invited us into. I would encourage you, don't let today go by without taking advantage of the invitation that he has given each and every one of us. So I'm going to pray. Those people are going to come forward, and if you need to flesh out what this means for you, we encourage you to come down and to take advantage of this time. Thanks so much for being here. It's been an amazing time of celebration in what God has done and is going to continue to do. Let's pray. Jesus, you are awesome. You are worthwhile, Lord, and through you, we can find life. And without you, we never, ever will. So God, we pray that today, as we got to see the new life that you're crafting in a number of people, and as we've got to see the fruit that you've been producing in Joni's life and her ministry and the people that she's influenced, now producing fruit that looks like your kingdom, God, we stand in awe and we just thank you. Lord, we know that this is not something we can just muster up the energy to be able to accomplish on our own. Lord, we know that your strength is the only thing that will make this possible. And God, we pray if there's anyone in here this morning that needs to address one or both of these questions, God, that you'd give them the courage to come forward and to talk through this with someone in the context of a relationship. And Lord, we know that you will be there as they do that. We love you. We thank you for what you've done, continue to do. In your wonderful and amazing name, amen, amen.